new poll offers a more complete picture of the pandemic's impact on our everyday lives. From South Dakota Public Broadcasting, it's Thursday, May 6th, and this is In the Moment. Coming up this hour, we talk with South Dakota political scientists about a new SDSU poll that looks at political divisions regarding pandemic policies and the importance of messengers in encouraging vaccination. A windy spring is wreaking havoc on allergy sufferers. We'll seek relief. We hear from South Dakota golf legend Chris Cheddar as she talks with SDPB's Craig Maddock. Larry Rohr explores new music with the South Dakota Music Aficionado. That's coming later in the hour. Plus, the voices of high school seniors as they reflect on a year of pandemic learning in their own words. I'm Lori Walsh. You're in the moment. News is first.
With SDPB News, I'm John Wynn. Governor Kristi Noem says she does not have plans to issue a public service announcement urging South Dakotans to get the COVID-19 vaccine, but state health officials are urging more residents to get inoculated. SDPB's Lee Strubinger has more.
Several times in the last year, Governor Noem issued PSAs urging South Dakotans to practice good hygiene and keep socially distanced.
We all have the same goal, making South Dakota safer, stronger, and healthier. Together, we will get through this.
As the tourism season fast approaches, Noem says South Dakotans who want the vaccine have gotten it. She's not planning to formally urge more vaccinations.
We're not going to mandate to people what they have to do. We're going to give them the flexibility to make adjustments as they'd like to. But the more data and information and facts that we can give them on the decisions they can make for their families as they travel is critically important.
Noem received her second dose of the Pfizer vaccine last week. Department of Health officials hope more will follow her example, even if she doesn't give them direct encouragement. Kim Malsom-Risden is the secretary for the Department of Health.
Our goal is to see at least 70% of people that are eligible for vaccination to be vaccinated, because that's going to give us a level of protection that will really slow and even stop the spread of COVID in our state.
46% of South Dakotans are fully vaccinated. Vaccines are now available to all South Dakotans 16 and older. The CDC estimates 20 to 30% of South Dakotans are hesitant to get the vaccine.
So they're going to rely on other people doing the right thing, huh?
Dr. Susan Hoover specializes in infectious disease and travel medicine with Sanford Health. She says those hesitant about the vaccine or who have not contracted the disease are still vulnerable.
Still not everybody has had it. There's 330 million people in the United States, and it hasn't gotten everybody yet. I'd say you remain vulnerable as long as you have not had it, have not been vaccinated.
Hoover says scientists are still learning about the short and long-term effects of COVID-19. She says getting vaccinated is better than taking a chance on catching the disease. For South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I'm Lee Strubinger in Rapid City.
There are nearly 200 missing and murdered Indigenous women in South Dakota, according to the Sovereign Bodies Institute. Most of those cases are unsolved. On Wednesday, about a dozen advocates and relatives spoke on the steps of the state capitol building and pier to call for protection and justice. Bernita In the Woods is a Cheyenne River Sioux Tribe Council representative. She says every woman lost leaves a lasting impact on her family and community.
Their lives change. They raise their children different. It changes how they work, where they work. Their dreams change. Everything changes. Children are raised without mothers, aunties, grandmothers. But we lose even more than that. We lose our dancers, we lose our singers, we lose our cooks, we lose our leaders.
In the Woods praised the state legislature for passing a bill to create a liaison for missing and murdered Indigenous persons within the Attorney General's office. But she says further action is needed from all levels of government. Speakers called for stronger laws and community diligence to protect women from domestic abuse and human trafficking. The Native Women's Society of the Great Plains hosted the event. We're seeing sunny skies for weather today, with highs in the 60s to the lower 70s. For SDPB News, I'm John Wynn.
And I'm Lori Walsh. SDPB shines the spotlight this May on the crisis of missing and murdered Indigenous women. All month, we are bringing you stories of people seeking justice for stolen sisters and seeking solutions to protect Native women and girls from violence and exploitation. Jackie Hendry is the host of South Dakota Focus on SDPB-TV. She was in Pierre yesterday for the National Day of Awareness, and she's joining us now with an update. Jackie, welcome back.
Hi, Lori. Thanks for having me.
Tell us a little bit about this event, Powerful and Emotional Call to Action.
Absolutely. This event was hosted by the Native Women's Society of the Great Plains, which is a coalition of organizations that serve a variety of purposes, mainly fighting domestic violence against Native women and sexual assault, and advocating for assault survivors really across the Great Plains region. And yesterday, May 5th, is this National Day of Observance for Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women, and it happens to correspond with the birthday of a woman named Hannah Harris, who went missing and whose body was later recovered on the Northern Cheyenne Reservation in 2013. So that's why that particular day is the Day of Observance.
Yeah. All right. So who did you hear from yesterday as you went to the Capitol to cover this story?
It was a powerful, wide-ranging agenda of speakers. Many of them were relatives, mothers, grandmothers who had lost their daughters, granddaughters, and sisters from a variety of situations. And when we talk about missing and murdered Indigenous women, those stories range from domestic violence situations, drug-related killings, human trafficking situations, and some that are as yet just unsolved murders. One of the families that I was able to talk to just after, they were also the last speakers at the event, Anna Halverson. She's Oglala Lakota from Pine Ridge, and her sister, Jessie Renee Waters, was beaten and left for dead on a service road on the reservation 6 years ago. So I asked Anna what she wanted others to know about this situation, and this is what she said.
You know, I'm a survivor of domestic violence. This could have been me. This is many, many women across Native territory. There's a lot of women out there looking for help. They're looking for help. And they're going to these programs. They're going to the police. They're going to victims services. And they're not receiving the help that they probably need.
Yeah, so Anna Halverson tells me her sister, they believe her boyfriend was the one who murdered Jesse Renee Waters. I believe he has been sentenced and served time for burning down her trailer after her death and things like this. But as far as any justice related to her death, Anna Halverson tells me former state's attorney U.S. state's attorney Randy Seiler had been involved in her sister's case. But as administrations change over time, Seiler isn't in that office anymore. The case was filed away and hasn't been worked on since. So Anna and her family members are just one trying to work to raise awareness and reopen their sister's case.
Yeah, and we're talking about this all month on In the Moment, and there'll be a South Dakota focused conversation about missing and murdered Indigenous women, and just giving Anna's words a little bit of room to breathe there, I think, is a good reminder for us, Jackie, as we talk about this and the people who are listening right now, what a difficult topic this is and how people can be really triggered just hearing us speak right now. Mm-hmm. But yet it is important to talk about it, to raise awareness. Tell me why. Why are we talking about this? Why is it such a crisis that we have to turn on the microphones and say, listen, this matters?
Yes. So much of it, as I've heard from speakers yesterday and talked to people, part of it is something Anna said, you know, as long as my sister was silenced, but as long as I'm alive and our family is alive and looking for justice, she is not voiceless. And that was the sense I got from a lot of the relatives yesterday who have lost loved ones and are, you know, for whatever, however their loved one was lost, whether it was a domestic violence situation, human trafficking, they're calling on elected officials from tribal, state, federal government levels and also on their own communities. Fathers, brothers, romantic partners, keep an eye on your loved ones and be aware of what's happening in your community and stand up against these abuses.
Yeah. What are we seeing about, you know, hope for solutions, hope for, you know, once we raise awareness, when people come forward and tell their stories, they don't want to just tell it for somebody's, you know, entertainment value. They want something to change. Are we seeing that kind of change on the federal level? What do we know so far?
Some of that has been happening in recent years on the national stage. For instance, in fall of last year, Congress passed Savannah's Act and the Not Invisible Act. These are a couple acts related to improving missing and murdered Indigenous women data collection, directives for the Department of Justice to review and revise law enforcement protocols to address these cases, the Not Invisible Act identifying violence against Indians or within Indian lands, and then also, for instance, in a proclamation from the White House acknowledging Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women's Day, Congress working to I'm blanking on the word, but basically reaffirm the Violence Right. Against Women's Act and closing things Yeah. like the boyfriend loophole in firearms. And a lot of motion, but a lot of the call yesterday seemed to be a call for continued pushing and accountability once these things go through.
Yeah, I see you. I hear you.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not let the story go into silence after May 5th.
Yes.
To SDPB's Jackie Hendry, thank you so much for being here with us today.
Thank you, Lori.
Yeah, and you can find all our coverage on this topic this month at sdpb.org/spotlight. We will take a break. When we come back, you might be suffering from allergies. You're not alone. We'll talk with a family physician about what you can do to find a little relief. You're on listener-supported SDPB Radio.
The pandemic showed that a lot of jobs usually done in offices can actually be done from home. That may permanently change how many Americans work, but not all Americans.
So yeah, I guess there was a little bit of a general resentment on that end, but I mean, you know, cars have got to be built. You got to do that in person.
Who's left out of the remote work revolution? This afternoon on All Things Considered from NPR News.
Listen, beginning at 3 Central, 2 Mountain on SDPB.
Program funding is provided by First Dakota National Bank. First Dakota National Bank celebrates individuals and businesses with a passion to turn their dreams into South Dakota firsts. Learn more at firstdakota.com/first. Fort Pierre is the host of our next episode of Dakota Life. We'll meet the cowboys of the Diamond A Ranch, meet Pat Duffy, who continues to be a driving force in the community. We'll also look through the lens of photographer John Benajek, and we'll check in on the expanding bison herd in Rosebud. Greetings from Fort Pierre, our next Dakota Life, Thursday, May 6th at 8, 7 Mountain on SDPB-TV. Program funding by the South Dakota Humanities Council, promoting reading for all ages with the 2021 Young Readers One book, Imagine Imahina, by Juan Felipe Herrera, featuring English and Spanish text. More at sdhumanities.org.
Health reporting on SDPB is supported by Monument Health.
You're listening to In the Moment on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Lori Walsh. A windy spring and abundant tree growth have allergy sufferers seeking relief this spring in South Dakota. Dr. Ben Meyrink is a family medicine physician at Avera, and he's joining us with insight into how the allergy season is shaping up. Dr. Meyrink, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Well, I just want to answer that question with, it's miserable as an allergy. An allergy sufferer. How is it shaping up? Yeah, it's not so good. What are you seeing in your practice?
We are seeing more of these symptoms than we have seen in many years, and especially with the mild winter, and then also a lot of people that are new to South Dakota that are not used to the windy prairie, dusty prairie, are really struggling. So yes, we have seen a tremendous spike in symptoms this spring.
Yeah, welcome to South Dakota. We're glad you're here. But oh, by the way, so exactly how do things like wind and rain and just the greening of the landscape in spring, how do those directly impact allergies? What exactly is happening?
Yeah, so if you look at our pollen counts, mainly from trees right now, they're higher. They've been increasing yearly for quite a few years now, just with the way the climate has changed. But this spring especially is moderate to very high. And I think that's largely due to the nice spring we're having, which we'll gladly take. But because the winter was so mild, it didn't really fend off the mold spores the way the winter typically does. So not only are the pollen counts higher with the nicer weather we're having, the early budding of the trees and those types of things, but the mold is playing a role as well from the lack of the cold, long winter that we're used to that thankfully we didn't have this year, but now we're feeling some side effects of that now.
Yeah. When do you just seek medical help, and when you're suffering from what you think are pretty obvious allergy symptoms, do you just take an over-the-counter allergy medicine? Mm-hmm. Where's that line?
Yeah, so in a normal year, this is not a normal year. In a normal year, I would say, yes, if you're having symptoms, go ahead and try some over-the-counter types of medications. And if you don't get relief, then go in, be seen by your primary care physician or an allergy specialist, although we don't have a lot of those in South Dakota. However, a lot of patients I'm seeing now, too, are also coming in saying, do I have COVID? Because there is tremendous overlap in those symptoms. So if you're concerned, especially if you're having things like fevers, body aches, chills, allergies should not be causing those symptoms as well, then I'd absolutely be seen as well.
If you are seeking over-the-counter solutions, there are options that are nasal sprays. There are options that are, you know, ready tabs or pills. Where do you begin? Is it with just one thing, with a combination of different treatments? What do you tell your patients?
So there's usually three things I recommend to all my patients with any like sinus, allergy, upper respiratory symptoms. And so the first thing is an antihistamine. Those really are the mainstay of treatment. So that is your Zyrtec, your Claritin, your Allegra. Really any of those just in general are typically fine. Now some are sedating, and so you just got to watch those types of things. But certainly one of those is going to be the first thing you should try. The second thing I always add in is Flonase, a nasal spray. That really helps. I usually do that about 30 to 60 minutes after the last thing I'll talk about, which are sinus rinses. And so the sinus rinses are like your Neomed, Medipot, something like that. They actually have tremendous evidence for sinus allergy symptoms. I always say use them with distilled water. But I usually say to try those once or twice a day. And I know they're very strange the first time you do them, but they actually work incredibly well. And so that is usually my three-part combo, the antihistamine, the nasal spray, and then the nasal saline rinse as well.
Interesting. And those are all pharmacy. You can just ask your local pharmacist to help you find those. The nasal rinses
Absolutely.
You can just buy over the counter. Yeah. Yeah, I did one of those for the first time, and I was like, is this right? Am I doing this right? So are there any concerns about doing that right, or can you cause any problems if you do it incorrectly? Because it is kind of weird.
It is very strange. You know, if you have a history of complex sinus issues or recent sinus surgery, then I certainly would ask your nose and throat doctor if you think they're okay. But for most people, if you use distilled water, follow the instructions, do them gently, they actually work incredibly well. And like you said, your pharmacist is always, there's so many options to pick from in an aisle at the pharmacy. You're never sure what is what. It is totally appropriate to ask your pharmacist there for help, too.
Yeah.
That's a great idea.
Is there a time to use something like prednisone? Or, I mean, when your system is just so overwhelmed with allergies, do you get into a danger zone? Or, you know, I can't return to work because allergies are so overwhelming. Are there rescue options?
Yes. So at that point, absolutely, then you should be seeing someone, a physician or whoever your primary care provider is. And then at that point, talk about things like steroids. I do warn people about Afrin spray as well. I know a lot of people will buy that and try that. That is great for acute relief. But if you typically use it more than 3 days, you can actually cause a lot of rebound congestion. So then after 3 days, you're just sort of creating this vicious cycle. But if those other things I talked about earlier aren't working at that point, then yes, come see us, because you may even need allergy testing at that point. You may need to see an allergy specialist for injections or something of that nature. And you don't have to be miserable. There's plenty of options to try and things for us to look into.
Yeah. Let's close with some basic day-to-day things that you do. I always throw out my extreme solution is to change my sheets every single day, which most people don't want to do. But boy, does it help me. So what are some of the things that you can do if you've been outside or with opening and closing your windows to this beautiful spring weather? How do you kind of block the pollen from getting into your life?
So I want my patients, you know, outside. I love the outdoors. It's great for your mental health, your physical health. I want people to enjoy it, to exercise. So my message is never to stay indoors. My message is to get outside. You know, allergy patients have been using masks even before the pandemic. So it might not be a bad idea if you are really struggling with it to wear a mask outside just to prevent pollen uptake. And then when you get inside, first thing I would do is wash your hands. And it might not even be a bad idea to take a shower or change your clothes to just get that pollen off. And then when you are inside, as much as we all love fresh air, if you struggle with these symptoms, you probably should just keep your windows and doors closed. You really should. Dust, pollen all gets in so easily, especially in South Dakota. And then make sure, you know, it's the season to change your air filter, get an air purifier or something like that as well. Is never a bad idea too. And those are all preventative steps. And if you know you struggle with them, you should just kind of be following those steps every spring and fall anyway.
Yeah. And I always wash my eyebrows. I don't know. And it gets in my eyes and my eyes water so painfully. So when I come in from outside, I wash my face and I make sure I wash my eyebrows. And those are my extreme tips for allergy sufferers.
Yeah.
I am not
and
a doctor.
I would agree with those.
Dr. Ben Meyer-Ink, thank you so much for being here with us. We really appreciate the relief.
Thanks for having me.
Dr. Meyer-Ink is a family medicine physician at Avera. We will back in a moment, and we're going to talk about a new poll from SDSU about the impact of COVID in South Dakota. You're on listener-supported South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
On the next Fresh Air, how a promised land to generations of Black families became a community of lost lives. We talk with Linda Villarosa about her New York Times Magazine article titled, Black Lives Are Shorter in Chicago. My Family History Shows Why. She covers the intersection of health and medicine and social justice. Join us. This afternoon at 2, One Mountain on SDPB.
Program funding by Rise Custom Solutions, wheelchair and mobility specialists, plus expert orthotics, prosthetics, and assistive technology in Sioux Falls and Rapid City, a division of LifeScape. More at risecs.com.
When Jen and Ty Moes relocated to Webster, South Dakota 15 years ago, they cut the cord, and Jen says the programming is very meaningful to their family.
We're not paying anything for the antenna. But it's worth enough to me that I want to make a monthly donation to make sure that we've got it in our home and that we're supporting it. We're very proud to partner with South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Become a sustaining member of SDPB at sdpb.org/donate.
Program funding with your support and by McCrory Gardens in Brookings, planting over 40,000 flowers every spring. More information at McCrorygardens.com. McCrory Gardens, ready to bloom.
You're listening to In the Moment on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm your host, Lori Walsh. A new SDSU poll is providing a more complete picture of the pandemic in South Dakota. The South Dakota COVID Impact Survey explores the far-reaching impact of the disease, the importance of messengers in the vaccination effort, and the pattern of political polarization in nearly every COVID-related policy question. The SDSU poll is a research group housed in the School of American and Global Studies at South Dakota State University. We are joined by David Wiltsey. He is the assistant professor of political science in the School of American and Global Studies and a research associate. I flipped that around. Dave Wiltsey is the director of the SDSU poll. Dave, welcome. Thanks for being here. Dr. Wiltsey, are you there?
Yeah, I think I am.
I sort of flipped your introductions around. Yes. And Philippe Viscopich is a research associate and assistant professor of political science at SDSU. Philippe, welcome back.
Thank you so much. Great to be here.
Philippe, let's start with you and tell us a little bit about the parameters of this poll. Who is involved in it, and how deeply is it go into how South Dakotans have been impacted by the pandemic?
Absolutely. So this is a very comprehensive poll. We invited 44,000 South Dakotans by mail to complete an online survey, and we got over 3,000 responses, which is actually a really good rate for these types of surveys. And this very comprehensive survey, which covers the entire state, really gives us a good understanding of the impact of COVID on the lives of South Dakotans. For example, we ask people if they personally knew anyone who tested positive for COVID-19. Almost everybody did. Over 60% had a friend or a family member who tested positive. We also ask people if they knew anyone who had to be hospitalized due to COVID-19. Over 40% had a friend who was hospitalized, and almost 20% had a family member who had to be hospitalized due to COVID-19. We also asked if they knew somebody in their family who died to COVID, or if they had a friend who died to COVID, and over 30% responded that they had a friend who died to COVID, and almost 10% of participants had a family member dying to COVID. So these numbers taken together, they just really illustrate the far-reaching impact of COVID on the lives of South Dakotans, and literally everybody has been affected one way or another.
Yeah. Dr. Wiltsey, you also, we were talking about vaccine administration and vaccine hesitation, and you also wanted to look into, in this poll, the idea of what encourages people to get vaccinated and how they overcome that hesitancy if they have it. What did you learn about the messenger of who is delivering those messages and how those messages are received?
Yeah, one of the interesting things about how COVID has been handled from the very start is that it has become very politicized. And we saw that almost from the very beginning of the epidemic. And after a good 9-10 months of heavy politicization, we found that the people who are delivering these messages are going to be really important. The message that we used in our survey experiment was an identical message that emphasized the importance of getting vaccinated, the impact on your family, your community, et cetera. But we posed it from the perspective of three separate messengers: a political messenger, a medical professional, and then a religious messenger. And the politician had very little impact on people's willingness or their attitudes on getting the vaccine. Same thing with the medical professional. What really mattered was the religious messenger. We saw a very big difference in the people who were not vaccinated and their willingness to consider getting vaccinated after hearing from that religious messenger. So the bottom line for us is that we feel that, these kinds of messengers from non-political and non-medical quarters are really going to be the things that are going to resonate with South Dakotans. And probably we could apply that to the American population overall.
I think that's a fascinating result to think and try to understand more deeply. You mentioned survey experiment. Explain what you mean by that.
Well, basically a survey experiment is like any other kind of experiment you do in a laboratory where you have a control group and then a couple groups that are exposed to a treatment. And in our case, our control group was a group of people that received a neutral message. It was actually a message about hockey, of all things. And then we had this public health message, an identical public health message from a politician, one from a medical professional, and then the other from the religious messenger. And what you can do is you can then expose the respondents to that treatment or to the control, and then immediately ask them questions about different attitudes and different opinions. And you can really begin to see effects of what that treatment has done, if there's a difference in the responses to those follow-up questions. And what we saw in several cases was on those follow-up questions immediately after having that treatment, the religious messengers really were able to cut through and shape people's opinions.
Interesting. Dr. Riskovich, tell us more about what Dr. Wiltsy just said regarding that political polarization. You ask questions about, vaccine passports or so-called vaccine passports and other things. Tell us a little bit about what some of that data revealed.
Absolutely. So one unfortunate consequence is that COVID-19 just became such a political issue, and it just became embedded so deeply in politics. For example, if we look at vaccination rates by party affiliation in South Dakota, we find that 80% of Democrats in South Dakota have been vaccinated, compared to over a 40% independents, and compared to less than 40% South Dakotans who identify as Republicans. So we see very significant differences between vaccinations. Coming back to the issue of vaccination passports, mm-hmm. Some countries like Israel have implemented the system. Other countries are talking about it. It's slightly controversial, and our findings reveal significant differences between Republicans and Democrats in South Dakota. So what we find when we ask participants whether or not they were supportive of a vaccine passport system in South Dakota, 71% of self-identified Democrats were supportive. And we also found that 71% of Republicans were opposed. So we can see a clear partisan divide. And this partisan division on vaccination passports just follows a well-established pattern of polarization on every COVID-related policy question, such as mask mandates. When we ran a very similar survey last year in the fall, we found that Democrats were supportive of mask mandates, Republicans were opposed. So this finding that Democrats are in favor of vaccine passports and Republicans oppose it very strongly is not surprising.
Hmm. Dr. Wiltsy, what more statistical analysis might be done to reveal more about this survey? And then let's talk a little bit about how it can be used in policymaking and communications. But mm-hmm. but first, what are you excited to dig in more deeply?
Well, we're really excited to look at these surveys in a little bit more detail. And when we say that, more statistical analysis is necessary, we're just going to be using what we call multivariate analysis, where we can really control for other factors when we're measuring these attitudes. So we can control for partisanship, we can control for age, and all these other factors that we know have some effect on people's attitudes. And what we've seen in some of the initial more in-depth analysis that we've done is that, again, these religious messengers really do have some purchase on some of these folks who are hesitant to get a vaccine. And, you know, we're talking about a difference of, you know, I'd have to go back and look at the exact numbers, but the people who are resistant, who are unvaccinated right now, only about 15, 16% of them really have any interest in getting vaccinated. But when we expose them to that religious messenger, it goes almost up to 30%. So we're talking about doubling people's likelihood of seriously considering a vaccination. And, you know, and public health officials are trying to find different ways to encourage folks to get out there and to get the vaccination. You know, that's a sizable portion of our population. That's about 10% of South Dakotan adults right there. So that would have, you know, some real potential in terms of helping policymakers craft both the message and choosing the messenger wisely as they are going about their public efforts.
So, Dave, let me ask you this about the timing of this poll, because this is from, April, correct? April of 2021 is when you asked these questions. It's not the first poll that you've done about COVID, but this most recent poll is from that time frame.
Right.
Do I understand? Okay. So my question to you is, and maybe you, you know, this is more analysis and you can back up with statistics, but does the timing of that matter in the sense that at some point people are just saturated from hearing from political and medical leaders? You know, I'm thinking about Governor Kristi Noem saying she was not going to issue a special PSA for vaccination. You know, she got her vaccine. She, you know, posted her vaccination day online, and she's been criticized for that. But in some ways, maybe she's saying, I've done everything I can do. I mean, if you haven't listened to me yet.
Right.
So my question directly to you is, does the timing of the poll change the responses that you get about who the most effective messenger is?
I don't think it would have a huge effect.
Okay.
You know, we timed this at a point where about 50% of South Dakotans had gotten their vaccine. So we have continued to see, since the poll closed a couple of weeks ago, we've continued to see vaccination rates rise a little bit more day by day. But if we reached a saturation point when it came to the effectiveness of political messengers, I think we hit that months ago. You know, like I said, you know, at the start, we have been receiving very politicized messages about COVID for an entire year. And, you know, those attitudes really can kind of set in, bake in, and be very difficult to crack through if they're coming from political quarters. And I also fear that when it comes to public health agencies, the CDC, Anthony Fauci in particular, that a lot of these medical authorities have been caught up in this same political melee, and people see them and have reactions to them just like they would any other political official.
Well, we will put a link up on our website to the South Dakota COVID Impact Survey. There's much more there, including what people do after they're vaccinated regarding mask wearing and social distancing. And you can also link directly to that poll on Twitter, news@SDState. My guests have been Dr. David Wiltsy and Dr. Philippe Viskupich from the SDSU poll. Dave, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Philippe, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Well, as we follow the surveys and COVID reports and numbers, it's important to remember that each data point reflects the life and the opinion of one of our neighbors. And we have been bringing you voices of high school seniors as they process the pandemic, how it's impacted their final year of public education. Here is a Warner High School senior in her own words.
I'm Holly Jark, and I'm a senior at Warner High School. I definitely pictured my senior year a lot differently. You know, hanging out with friends from other teams after games and, you know, just having a good time, just being pretty carefree at school. And COVID definitely had a very large impact on that. There are just like little changes that honestly make a pretty big difference. the theme that's most common for me throughout COVID is definitely don't take anything for granted, because it can get taken away from you faster than you realize. We lost our homecoming football game. We didn't get to go watch our boys and support the boys, and our senior boys didn't have a chance to play in that game because our opponent got COVID. They couldn't come play. So it's just things like that they're really eye-opening. Volleyball was something that kind of was like a getaway from COVID, because once everything started to kind of open up again and you were able to get back into the gym, that was the one place where you didn't have to wear a mask and you could be with the people that you're used to being around and doing something that you're used to doing, and it just feels normal. And my teammates were definitely a huge reason why this pandemic hasn't been the most terrible thing for me, because it's allowed me more time to just stay in and be with the people that I care about and the people that I love. And a lot of those people are on my team, both volleyball and basketball. And they're there for you no matter what you're going through, and you can always talk to them. I think COVID did offer us an opportunity to really get closer, just because we realized that, you know, your season isn't promised. So we really need to make the most of it.
That was senior Holly Jark from Warner High School, in her own words, talking about how the pandemic affected her senior year. Ahead on the program, Craig Maddock talks with South Dakota sports golf legend Chris Cheddar. You're listening to In the Moment on South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
I'm Robin Young. It's a real-life treasure hunt. Brooklyn artist Steve Westerval sells his paintings for up to $3,000, but now they're also available for free if people in his neighborhood can find where he hid them. He's getting people outside and drawing them to art. Next time, Here and Now.
This afternoon, beginning at 1 Central, Noon Mountain, on SDPB Radio.
Program funding by a co-op agreement with the U.S. Small Business Administration. If COVID-19 impacted your business, SDCEO Women's Business Center offers complimentary confidential advice. More at bhsu.edu/SDCEO.
This evening on Jazz Nightly, we'll hear the latest from guitarist Ronnie Ben-Hur, whose new album, Stories, features pianist George Cables and trumpeter Ingrid Jensen. We'll also hear young up-and-coming saxophonist Jack Brenfield, whose playing evokes the classic big-tone tenorman of the swing era. Plus, we've got new local music by saxophonist Brian Hennigan and a classic track from the legendary Rawson Rollin Kirk. I'm Carl Gerke, and you can join me at 8 Central, 7 Mountain, here on SDPB Radio.
Program funding is provided by Sanford Underground Research Facility, hosting world-leading research in physics and other disciplines. Learn more about America's Underground Science Laboratory at sanfordlab.org.
He'll throw it back. Touchdown! Whiteholt with the kill, and Warner wins the set. Fade away!
It's a little bit of the In Play podcast with Craig Maddock. A new episode has dropped, and Craig Maddock joins us now to talk about his conversation with Sioux Falls legendary LPGA golfer Chris Cheddar. Hey, Craig, welcome.
Lori, it's great to talk with you again, and thanks for promoting In Play. It's something that we started last September, and it was a new feature that South Dakota Public Broadcasting asked me to be a part of, and I've totally enjoyed it. And we just completed our 18th podcast, which will air here in a couple of weeks. We're going to take the summer off, but we're going to get back at it again coming up this fall. But it's been great talking to some of the great legends, whether they're coaches or players or contributors, and getting a chance to talk to those folks and letting possibly a whole new generation know that we've had some pretty good stories in South Dakota when it comes to sports.
Yeah. How long have you known Chris Cheddar? How long have you been covering her career?
You know, I've been a part of South Dakota sports for almost 40 years. And so I have followed her You know, when she won her first tournament in the LPGA back in, was it 91? And she has come back to South Dakota. She has come back to Sioux Falls to give back to the community over the years. So you know, I've known Chris for a long time, and she is one of those that, you know what, some don't come back to South Dakota after they've right. made it big. But she does come back as often as she can to help promote and try to raise money for kids, especially for kids, and if they want to play golf.
Yeah. Well, we've got a little audio here, and it is something about Chris Cheddar that maybe everybody knows, but I did not, and that is a little bit of her dance career. So here is Craig Maddock talking to Chris Cheddar about ballet.
You know, it was really in high school, you know, probably my junior year, and I think I can't remember if it was my sophomore or junior year, I went to New York and tried out for the School of American Ballet, and I didn't make it, but I had not been dancing all that long because I started a little bit late, and so I still felt like I had a lot of room for improvement. It, you know, I could maybe go home and work really hard and still would have a chance. My ballet teacher ultimately is the one who said, you know, I think you could do it, but you're not ever going to be the best. And apparently I really liked, you know, like being center stage.
Wow.
And ultimately, though, she said ballet careers are short and your golf would you'd have a much longer career.
I don't think they have a Legends Tour in the ballet field, do they, Chris?
Oh, man. You know, it's funny. Every now and then I still have a dance dream where I can dance again and I'm on point. And I wake up and I'm like, oh, it's going to be a great day.
Oh. That is golfer Chris Cheddar from Sioux Falls talking with Craig Maddock. And we're talking about the In Play podcast, which, of course, you can download now wherever you get your podcasts and listen to the full conversation. What a laugh and what a lot of joy Chris Cheddar brings not only to golf, but to life and to interviews. Right, Craig?
She is, I guess the term, bubbly, and she loves life, and yeah. She certainly it just shows how much she loves the game, and that's why it was so fun to talk with her, and I hope folks go to the podcast, get a chance to hear more about her life and even what she wants to do down the road.
That's what I was going to ask you right now. What's next for her?
I don't think she's going to be golfing much longer. I mean, she's on the Legends Tour right now for women. In fact, she'll be in the Twin Cities for a golf tournament here in the next couple of months. But she told me in the next couple of years, she doesn't know. She's got osteoarthritis in a couple of her fingers, and it's hard for her to grip the club. And so she may not be able to play the game that she loves. But one thing that she is going to do, that she wants to do, is called brain balancing. Now, you're going to have to listen to the podcast to figure out exactly what brain balancing is. It helps with stress and sleep and mood. In fact, she would love to open an office in Sioux Falls. So she already has an idea. It's kind of like a healer. She says if the ballet thing didn't work, it didn't work, and if the golf thing had not worked, she said, I think she would have been a healer in her career, and this is something that she is looking forward to.
Yeah, well, for dancers out there, I think the ballet thing worked if you got to audition for that company and maybe had a chance at making it. But she says she's not very athletic, even though she's a golfer with the success that she's had and a dancer with the success that she's had. Why would she say not very athletic?
Well, she thinks that she's not athletic when it comes to like being in the South Dakota Sports Hall of Fame. She thinks, maybe she doesn't deserve to be in there because she doesn't seem to be athletic in her own mind. But hey, it still takes mind and body to do stuff in golf. And to me, she is an athlete and well deserved to be in the South Dakota Sports Hall of Fame.
Yeah, and an inspiration to young golfers, young athletes, and young leaders in the state, like you said. there's a lot to look forward to with some of these stories and inspiration for who you can be in the world. Chris Cheddar featured with Craig Maddock on the In Play podcast. Write a review, share it with your friends, and find it wherever you get your podcasts. Craig, thank you so much.
Lori, thanks for the talk, as always.
COVID-19 has kept musicians from touring. Others are performing to virtual audiences, and many have been writing and recording. Larry Rohr talks now with David Herzrud. He's from Sturgis, and he is a lifelong music enthusiast who has amassed a vinyl, CD, and MP3 collection. He's still listening to several new releases each week.
We're here with David Herzrud, who's with the family business in Sturgis these days, but he spent several years with Warner Brothers, Elektra, Atlantic Music, has been a lifelong music nut, and he's surrounded by his 15,000-plus vinyl album collection, another 80,000 digitized MP3s, and brought you CDTV in the Rapid City market and beyond for several years. So we're going to take some time to check in with David, see what's new, and see what he's been listening to. Hey, David.
Hey, Larry.
The first cut that you wanted to talk about was something that's coming out from Van Morrison.
This is his 42nd album, believe it or not. It's going to be a 2-CD set. There's going to be 3 vinyl discs, 28 songs. Songs like Why Are You on Facebook, Where Have All the Rebels Gone, and Stop Bitching, Do Something.
Only a song, it's not set in stone, it's only a song. It's only a poem that could change in the long run. It's only a song.
I am huge, huge Van Morrison fan. Very honestly, been a little disappointed in some of the recent stuff that he's come out with, but hearing some of the songs on this particular album got me really, really excited, particularly Only a Song, which seems to me to harken back to some of the stuff that you and I are familiar with, and most people are, from his music he was releasing back in the 70s, the early 80s.
Only a song when everything's said and done.
You know, I know what you mean by Van Morrison hasn't lived up to maybe some of the expectations, but he's had so many iconic songs. Maybe that's part of it. We're waiting for the next Brown-Eyed Girl or something that's going to catch on for a 50-year run.
When the pigments march along and go home, it's only a song.
You also picked out something by Willie Nelson. It's such a unique album, and it's interesting that about the time your email arrived talking about That's Life, I heard You Make Me Feel So Young on a satellite music channel, and I wasn't aware that he had recorded that, and I thought, what in the world is Willie Nelson doing this for? But if you give it 15 seconds, you understand why.
I say that's life, and as funny as it may seem, some people get a big old kick out of stomping on a dream.
Willie has also been infatuated with what I call American standards. You go back to the Stardust album that came out in 1978, Georgia on My Mind. He's a fan of Frank Sinatra. This is the second album that he's come out with. First one was called My Way. And it was a little bit more of a kind of laid-back album, where this one has got a little bit more swing to it.
Myself up and get back in the race, 'cause that's life, and I can't deny it.
There's two things about his music that I've noticed personally. One is, for the last several years, his live performances, he kind of loses the melody in some of his songs. He loses the melody that you expect, but he's playing it in his style. But the other thing is when you get to a studio recording, he seems to have so much more control over his voice from the younger Willie Nelson, and it really works.
I really like this record, and I was a little nervous the first time I heard it, because I thought, oh my heavens, he's redoing Rod Stewart. So I was a little apprehensive when I got the record. First time I listened through, I said, I love it.
not everybody can make a career out of primarily being a cover guy. Of course, have their own songs, but do a lot of cover songs. And if anybody has done that successfully, it's been Tom Jones. Tell us a little bit about Talking Reality, Television Blues, and the music from Surrounded by Time.
This is, like Van Morrison, this is his 42nd album. This album is a little bit different for him. He's gone into covering songs by Bob Dylan, Cat Stevens, the Waterboys, and the particular song you're talking about, Todd Snyder, who's one of my favorite artists.
Well, come gather around and I'll sing you a song about a crazy old world that's coming along. Till one day some fool made the decision to turn on the television.
But the first time I heard this, you know, again, it was like the Willie Nelson record. I really didn't know what to expect. And this is the kind of song that if anybody is familiar with Tom Jones, has listened to his older material or even maybe some of the stuff that he's done, you know, over the past decade, you wouldn't expect him to do.
We stay tuned in, now here we are. Reality killed by a reality star. I got the talking blues. Hills, that is.
That is a David Hirsch. We were talking with SDPB's Larry Rohr. David is a lifelong music enthusiast and collector, and he is suggesting a listen to new releases from Tom Jones, Surrounded by Love, Willie Nelson's Ode to Frank Sinatra, My Life, and Van Morrison's latest record project, Volume 1, that will be released worldwide tomorrow.